other. Thank you so much for moving to your phone right now and calling 877-500-5266.
Incisive analysis that you get on a daily basis, not just from Chris Andre, but from the many, many public affairs hosts that come together on KBOO. Barbara Bernstein is going to be on in just a moment, talking about climate change and how we can address that that incredible crisis that this world is facing. Where else on the airwaves are you hearing about ways that communities can come together in order to address these fundamental issues? 877-500-5266. From the prison industrial complex, which is not a term that you hear on the mainstream media, but we break it down here at KBOO, as you heard on talk radio this morning. GMO labeling, the voice of labor on the old Mulver Variety Hour, civil liberties issues that you hear about on a daily basis, the mega mergers of media and the impact that has on our voices and on our democracy, the political prisoners like Lynn Stewart that you hear about on Air Cascadia. Chris Andre works so hard on this show to put together this type of analysis that that really you can hear from her, and it connects you to the world at large, connects you to your community. 877-500-5266. Let's keep those calls coming in and support your community radio station. And now we're going to go to Barbara Bernstein with Locus Focus.
Tune in Monday, October 6th, 7 p.m. to 5:30 a.m.
Sun Ra and his band from outer space entertain you here.
Membership special.
The brother of the greater universe.
Monday, October 6th, 7 p.m. to 5:30 a.m.
That makes to be what is not and makes what is not to be.
Tune in, listen on KBOO.
Sun Ra and his band from outer space.
Monday, October 6th. Special membership drive.
This KBOO program is made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from Wilkin & Company, PC, Certified Public Accountants, helping businesses, individuals, and nonprofit organizations make financial decisions based on their personal values since 1987. Wilkin & Company is located at 2435 Southwest 5th Avenue in Portland. Information at 503-225-1359 or wilkincpas.com.
Good morning and welcome to Locus Focus. I'm Barbara Bernstein, your host for this weekly conversation about our place on the planet. Sociologists have argued that we don't address global warming because it's too big and frightening to get our heads around. But if we don't take it seriously, we're going to find ourselves and the planet in deep trouble. This morning, we're going to talk about a toolkit that takes the intimidation and gloom out of one of the most complex and hotly debated challenges of our time. My guests are Yoram Bauman and Grady Klein, co-authors of The Cartoon Introduction to Climate Change. Yoram is the world's first and only stand-up economist and a fellow at Sightline Institute in Seattle. Grady is a cartoonist, animator, and graphic designer. Yoram and Grady, welcome to Locus Focus.
Hello.
Thank you so much.
And you're both there. Great. Well, I want to start by asking you, why a comic book about climate change when this is probably the most serious topic on Earth? So why are we going to learn about it from a comic book as opposed from some other method of transmission?
Do you want to tackle that, Yoram?
Sure. I mean, first of all, Grady and I have also co-authored two cartoon books about economics. So doing
you know, cartooning about serious topics is not something that's new for us. And I think mostly it's a terrific medium. I mean, I think a lot of people they don't want to pay attention to bad news. They don't want to think about it. And so, you know, much as I love Bill McKibben, for example, it's a little hard to pick up kind of a doom and gloom kind of book. And I think a cartoon book is accessible. It's something that lots of people can relate to. It gives us an excuse to have some, you know, fun jokes and fun images in the book. And it's an accessible, inviting way to learn about it, what would otherwise be a daunting topic.
Well, actually, I found as I was reading it, and I reread like the first half of it again last night, and it's a very quick read, being that it's a cartoon book, but I felt like the information sticks with me better from reading your book. And I've been reading a lot of stuff about climate change lately, but it seemed like whatever the information in your book and the images that went along with it helped for me to really start to comprehend and remember some of these. And I'm wondering, what do you think, why does that work that way?
I would say mission accomplished.
I think it's for Grady to answer this one, actually.
Mission accomplished. That's wonderful news. It's wonderful to hear that that's the case. One of the things we do as we write them is we take out a lot of language and try and really pare things down so things are as simple and straightforward as possible, just from the language that's actually in the book. And then augmenting it with pictures, I think you can really drive the point home. I mean, I think that, you know, this is one reason cartoons in the newspaper have always been so popular, is because within just a few panels they can convey something really meaningful and very powerfully and memorably. So we just take it to the whole book.
Well, I want to get into some of the actual information in the book, and starting with the history of the planet Earth, which I found to be a really important way to start a discussion about climate change. So let's first talk about why you chose to begin with the history of the planet and how that gives us a sense of what some of the issues around climate change really are.
I think it was a fun way to provide background information. Like, you need to know something about the carbon cycle. You need to know something about where fossil fuels came from. And I was hoping, and we were hoping, that the book would be the kind of book that people who care about climate change can give to friends and family and neighbors who maybe don't care all that much about climate change and might even be a little skeptical of it. And so we didn't want to jump right in and sort of hit people on the head with climate science. It seemed better to take a little bit of a more indirect route and convey a lot of the necessary background information by talking about the history of planet Earth, which also happens to be fascinating and really fun, make for some really fun images. So I think that's part of where the idea came from, and the attractions for me, at least.
Well, actually, I have a question, because there's one, as I was reading it through last night, there was one very small piece of information that I was dissatisfied with. We talk about all those large megafauna that lived on the planet 250, 300 million years ago, mainly the dinosaurs and their other comrades, and the giant ferns. And then you said that they all basically died and got compressed under the earth and turned into fossil fuels. But I've been curious, because I've heard conflicting information about what turned into what. So I wanted to know if you could explain, like, did the dinosaurs turn into gas and oil, or did they turn into coal, or did everybody turn into different things depending? Did both plant and animal matter turn into different substances depending on what kinds of forces were underground?
Yeah, so I think the vast majority of this was actually, even though it's fun to think about dinosaurs dying and getting turned into stuff, it was mostly just, you know, plant matter. And the thing that turned it into oil versus coal versus natural gas depended on the natural forces. And it's a little bit like cooking. So what you take out of the oven kind of depends on what you put into the oven, and then the temperatures are like in the oven. And that's a little bit of the way that fossil fuel creation is. And if you talk to the petroleum people, for example, they talk about petroleum blanking on the word that they use, but it's been overcooked, basically, is the language that they use.
And that's tar sands, among other things. Am I correct? When it's been overcooked?
You know, I'm not 100% sure whether that's true. That may be a different issue that got the...
Well, it's further... I know that tar sands are much further degraded than the light crude oil. And
Yeah.
But that's another story. Well, that maybe your next book can talk about, you know, what causes what kinds of fossil fuels. Well, we have to take a pitch break in just a second, but just very briefly, what would you say about the history of the Earth that you talk about in the first chapter that is the most telling point for understanding the crisis of climate change that we're in now and what's causing it?
I think I would say the point that we make in the beginning of that chapter, which is that you know, understanding the context of climate change, you need to understand that it's been going on for a very long time and affecting the life on planet Earth for a very long time. So that this is a really, really big story that we're latching on to.
Well, when we come back, sure.
Yeah, so I'd add that one of the things that people often don't even notice in the book is one of the things that we spend a fair amount of time working on, which are these little timelines. So we take the 4.6 billion year history of the planet and chunk out sort of when things happened over the course of that history. And, you know, the 200,000 years of human civilization, of course, is like a blip at the very end of the timeline. And a lot of the issues with climate change, I think, have to do just with the rapid pace of change. So it's not like there haven't been ice ages before or hot periods, but they've been a long time ago, and there's been a tremendous lead time to get there. And the changes that we're seeing now are coming a lot faster, and that's causing problems.
Well, when we come back, we'll talk about global warming versus global warming and a few other issues that will get the information to, confront some of the myths that are promulgated by climate change deniers. But right now we need to talk with Jenka and Justin about what is going on here at KBOO and why we need your support.
Thanks, Barbara. We are in our membership drive here at KBOO. This is the one of the few times a year we come to you, the listener, and we ask for your support to provide the basis for this community radio station. Our station is funded by you, the listener. If you're unfamiliar with this concept, it's different from commercial radio in that we don't take big corporate money. We don't put advertising on the air. Our programmers are 100% volunteer. They're on the air only. The only possible way that we can keep this thing going, keep these volunteers on the air, and keep this community radio connected to the community is with your support. 877-500-5266. We're getting really deep into the issue of climate change with the stand-up economist, and you can get a copy of that book, The Cartoon Introduction to Climate Change, for a $60 minimum pledge. That can be done as a monthly deduction from your checking account or your credit card, $5 a month. 877-500-5266. My name is Jenka, and I'm here with Justin.
Imagine that it cost only $88. $88 every hour for this vital community resource. Maybe you could start a $90 contribution, break that up into 12 installments of $7.50 a month. We can get you started when you call 877-500-5266. Maybe you could give 1 hour of your wage each month. It doesn't matter so much the amount that you give, but what really matters is that you get involved, that you stand up and be counted, that you know that you're taking a small bit of responsibility on behalf of the entire community. 877-500-5266. Barbara has been working a long time on Locus Focus, bringing us issues. That doesn't make her old. That makes her seasoned. It makes her experienced that we have real journalism going on here, people spending their time digging up the real information and bringing it out to you. 877-500-5266.
Well, Justin, being on the air for a long time doesn't maybe make us old, but what can make us old is if you don't call right now at 877-500-5266 and become a member of KBOO, because we're doing this for the love of radio, for the love of our concern about the planet and our communities and love of music and all the other reasons that people come on. Love of spoken word, love of hip hop. We do this for love, for our personal passion, for our connection. And I remember the very first time I got involved with KBOO and discovered that things I really cared about I could share with other people, and that I got feedback from that, and it was a whole other way of looking at life. So this is what KBOO is about, and you can become part of what KBOO is about by calling right now at 1-877-500-5266.
That's right, KBOO.fm around the world.
You said that this is a place where real journalism is getting done. In fact, it's one of the only places that real journalism is getting done. When you look at what's going on with the talking heads, with the CBS, Fox News, NBC News, they are all about infotainment. We're actually about the issues, about delving deep, about finding out what's really going on. This is real journalism right here, and it's one of the few places left that that is actually happening. Support that. Call right now, 877-500-5266. And I want to hear more from Yoram Bauman here.
So I guess we're going to go back and talk with Yoram and Grady. Yoram Bauman and Grady Klein, who are co-authors of The Cartoon Introduction to Climate Change. And this is a thank you gift we have if you call right now at 1-877-500-5266 and become a member of KBOO at the $60 level. Yoram and Grady, welcome back to Locus Focus. So now let's get into talking about some of these changes, some of the reasons why climate changed in the past, like the difference between having ice ages and ages of the dinosaurs and times like we have now. What's the difference between those fluctuations of climate throughout history and what's happening now in the starting in the 20th century and getting escalating as we move into the 21st century?
Well, I think part of it is, like I said earlier, about the just the pace of change that previous changes have taken place for the most part over you know very long time periods that are mostly incomprehensible to the human imagination. And what we're doing right now is thinking about multiple degrees Celsius, you know, in a century is kind of where we're heading. The other big thing, of course, is that the previous changes were resulting from natural activity. So, for example, the ice ages were caused by changes in the Earth's rotation around the sun. So sometimes, for example, the tilt of the Earth was more and sometimes it was less. And the changes that we are seeing now are largely connected to human activity, burning fossil fuels and deforestation. Grady has a really terrific drawing in the book with this showing the tilt of the Earth, but instead of the Earth going around the sun, it's this fellow who somehow he drew in his tighty-whities, and depending on the tilt of the Earth, either his head is on fire or his feet are on fire, and the other one's encased in ice. So that's one of my favorite drawings in the book.
Well, it gives us a personal feeling about what's going on here. If we can imagine ourselves being revolving around the sun and having those things happening to us. But what does it show? Let's talk a little bit about the changes. Let's talk a bit about global warming, which was something that was raised a couple of weeks ago in the House Committee on Science, Space, and Technology when one of the climate naysayers was confronting a scientist about why there's no such thing as anthropogenic climate change. These are all natural things like global warming.
Well, there's the global wobbling involves these what are called Milankovitch cycles, which are these small changes in the Earth's orbit around the sun, and one of them is this tilt of the Earth that I suppose you could think of as wobbling. But you know, you have to remember that this happens. The wobbling of the Earth's axis happens on like a 40,000-year time scale. That's not what we're talking about right now. And one of the big pieces of sort of what I consider to be anti-climate science sort of propaganda was there's a columnist in the Washington Post, George Will, who wrote a piece about how in the 70s climate scientists had predicted global cooling. And if you actually go and you read the papers that he cited, one of them was a paper from Science Magazine that first of all said, assuming that we don't continue to emit carbon dioxide, so forgetting about carbon dioxide, the planet is on a cooling trend for the next, over the next 20,000 years. And he conveniently left out the part about the 20,000 years and just sort of said, we're doing cooling.
So,
I might have something to add to that, which is that, the part of the science that's about, wobbling Milankovitch cycles, ice age cycles, all this stuff is very, subtle and precise, and it's amazing science. But in comparison, the part of the science that's about carbon dioxide and the acting as a greenhouse gas is very simple and straightforward. So it is a matter of timescales, absolutely. But this, I think, there's the global wobbling stuff is very subtle, and it's in the book. And I think it's very interesting. But in contrast, what's going on now is just like, it's very simple.
Well, let's talk a little bit about the evidence that you bring up in the book of that we are changing our climate and we're changing it at a rapid scale. And one of the most graphic images, I guess, and the most famous is the Keeling Curve.
So the Keeling Curve is the actual data, measured data of carbon dioxide concentrations in the atmosphere. So we can go to Antarctica and drill up ice cores and go to Greenland and drill up ice cores and get estimates of what CO2 concentrations were like historically through the last, through the ice ages over the last 400,000 years or so. But the Keeling Curve is actually measured data starting in the late 1950s that Charles and David Keeling did from an observatory in Hawaii to avoid getting measurements that were going to be distorted by local air pollution. And it's an actual, you can see, for example, that there's an annual cycle in CO2 concentration. So every year during the Northern Hemisphere summer, the plants suck carbon dioxide out of the atmosphere, and so atmospheric carbon concentrations go down by a few points, a few parts per million. And then in the winter, when it's winter in the Northern Hemisphere, the carbon dioxide concentration in the atmosphere go up a little bit. And so overlaid on that annual up and down cycle is this amazing trend where we've gone from, I think it was about, 320 parts per million when Keeling started his measurements, and now we're at 400 parts per million. And the Keeling Curve really is this iconic image and part of the factual basis of climate change.
Actually, one of my favorite images in your book is the set of famous paintings, and you put the Keeling Curve at the end after the Mona Lisa, Andy Warhol's Campbell's Soup, Ever Munch's The Scream, and then there's the Keeling Curve. Maybe we should see that in some art museum one of these days. Well, it's time again to go talk with Jenka and Justin about why you need to become a member of KBOO. And actually, if you do become a member of KBOO right now for a $60 pledge, you will be able to get a look at this wonderful set of cartoons that I'm looking at right now called The Cartoon Introduction to Climate Change by my guests this morning, Grady Klein and Yoram Bauman. So, Jenka and Justin, take it away.
Absolutely, Barbara. Thanks so much. It is a privilege to briefly interrupt Locus Focus this morning during our fall membership drive, because this is what keeps the lights on, the doors open, the training occurring, and the signal going out around the region and around the world. Won't you, dear listeners, pick up a phone and make a modest contribution, start a monthly sustaining membership? It's as simple as calling 877-500-5266. That's 877-500-KBO. Of course, you can always do that online at kboo.fm, but we would like to hear from you, have you introduce yourself, and if you could start that $60 membership or more. Remember, that's just $5 a month. That's 16 cents towards the $2,100+ every day that your community radio station costs. We'd love to put this book in your hand, and I have seen Yoram Bauman do his stand-up bit, and it is absolutely fabulous. I was quite in awe, and I'm really enjoying this interview right now, and I know you, dear listeners, are too, so call up and introduce yourself. Tell us what finally got you to cross that divide and become a radioactive member. 877-500-5266.
You know, I'm looking at a review of this cartoon introduction to climate change by Yoram Bauman. It's if you ever struggle to explain global warming science or the need for action to someone in your family or social networks, perhaps this is the book that you've been waiting for. From the Keeling Curve to the Milankovitch cycles and Arrhenius to Einstein, the book presents an easy-to-follow history of scientific achievements and challenges in understanding our planet's past and predicting the future. So this is one of the great gifts that can be yours if you become a member right now of KBOO Community Radio. A $5 a month contribution will get you this book, and you can also do that if you increase your monthly deduction from your checking account. Say you're giving $10 a month right now, you could increase to $15. And if you are considering increasing, think about maybe getting that KBOO hoodie. It's as the immortal words of Mike Crenshaw, it is a dope hoodie. So that is a KBOO hoodie, and it's a logo on the front left. left with a radio tower with lightning bolts coming out of it, and it's a black hoodie, and that is a $20 a month contribution to KBOO. And if you're already giving, you can increase to 20, and that will get you the hoodie. 877-500-5266. And it's the gifts that are an added bonus, but the real gift is KBOO Community Radio. You're giving this gift to yourself. You're giving yourself this information that you get on a daily basis, this university on the airwaves where you're learning, where you don't even have to pay for it. You know, it's voluntary. We don't charge tuition. You get to choose how much your radio bill will be every month, how much you can fit into your budget for this radio station. 877-500-5266.
Well, and like it or not, in a society such as ours, how we spend our money says something about the kind of world in which we intend to live. And putting a little money behind the expert journalism of Barbara Bernstein and Locus Focus, this is destination programming, that says something about the kind of person you are, the kind of person, the kind of life you intend to lead. You're not the kind of savvy listener who's simply waiting for someone else to do it. You're taking a small stand, and a little bit of increments, all of a sudden you've got critical mass, and this information goes out to everyone. The world is empowered, and we take action. We take a stand, and we work to make things different, and I don't think that's hyperbole. That's what Barbara Bernstein does with Locus Focus. That's what so many of our other, I like to call them ambassadors. They're cultural and political ambassadors, and they're digging around to get us the real information, and that's what you're supporting when you make a small contribution at 877-500-5266.
We want to thank a couple of people, renewing members James from Salem and Rainer from North Portland. Thank you so much for contributing to this community and contributing to your own knowledge and your own expansion of knowledge about this world, about this and many other issues. We know this about our listeners. You're smart, you're discerning, you're beautiful, you're critical thinkers. You really take things with a grain of salt, and you don't take our word for it. Whenever you hear something on the radio that you're critical of, you call us up and call us on it, and we appreciate that. We appreciate that we have listeners that are not just taking it all in, soaking it all up, and absorbing the content, but are actually engaged, and not just engaged in the radio, but engaged in our community and engaged in these issues. So I really appreciate that about KBOO listeners and supporters.
I think this model really engenders that. I think KBOO created a model that isn't just a one-way transfer. It's a loop, and it's a system that we're putting out information, and people are calling in, and they're adding that to that information, and it keeps growing and growing and growing. And that's why we hope to add some new members as well right now. As we hand it back to Barbara Bernstein and Locus Focus, we're still standing by to hear from a few more of you. We got a lot of gifts. We'll take whatever works for you. Just call up and introduce yourself toll free, 877-500-KBOO.
Well, thanks, Jenka and Justin. We'll be back talking to you in a little while. Well, we're talking this morning with Yoram Bauman and Grady Klein, who are co-authors of The Cartoon Introduction to Climate Change, which in less than 200 pages gives you everything you need to know about climate change to argue with those people in your family or people down the block from you who seem to deny that this is really a serious problem. So I want to talk a little bit first about some of the consequences of climate change that you talk about in your book, and then we'll talk about some solutions. So first of all, why should we be concerned about climate change? What is it going to be doing to us and to the planet?
You want to take a stab at that, Grady?
I had my little comment at the end of your speech already.
All right.
Why don't you start?
Sure. So, I mean, the honest truth is that if we continue with business as usual, then we're heading into the unknown. I mean, we can look at what scientists predict in terms of what's going to happen with sea level rise, what's going to happen with biodiversity loss, what's going to happen with extreme weather events. And I think a lot of it, and I speak as an environmental economist, is that we're sort of going outside of the bounds of the climate that we've experienced over the course of human civilization. And so as an economist, I think that one of the biggest threats is just that uncertainty, and that's why a lot of economists think about taking action on climate change as kind of an insurance policy. Like, we don't know where that's going to end up, and you know, most of us kind of like the planet that we have now, and would be willing to take some smart actions to make sure that we don't end up in with a climate that we really don't like, and that it's too late to do anything about.
And Grady?
My little comment at the end was going to be that, you know, of all the consequences that are predicted for this, the ones that we tend to focus on are the ones that affect people. And of course, there are lots and lots of them that affect plant and animal life as well. But the sad thing about the ones that affect people is that the people that are going to suffer the most are the people in poorer parts of the world. So I feel like this issue not only affects each of us, as we you know, think about the weather outside our houses and try and keep ourselves safe and warm and our children safe and warm, but also people elsewhere on the globe, and affects our lives as global citizens.
Well, I think that there's some people, even in the United States, who are starting to really experience the effect of climate change. I was recently in New Orleans and got to hear at this conference I was at from people from South Florida who are experiencing sea level rise right now. And in one image, if you do a revision of your book, I might recommend that you put in this map that shows New Orleans as it's been and New Orleans as it is right now. Not New Orleans, southern Louisiana and the Delta, and or the Mississippi River Delta, and where it's projected to be, and that New Orleans will be like right on the coastline in not very long. And it's a combination of bad bad practices by the oil and gas industry, but it's also, of course, has to do with sea level rises too. So what do you have to say about the fact that, and I think you do mention this in your book, that there's people who are already experiencing some of the effects of climate change?
I would say as a native Californian who now lives in New Jersey, I feel terrified of what's happening to the Central Valley, the potential for what happens to those ecosystems that are already sort of parched, if there is no water at all, is scary. There's another example in American history more broadly that I find interesting, which is that I remember when I was a kid and we went to the Southwest and learned about the Anasazi people who were, there's, you know, this ancient civilization that was down there that was largely abandoned. And I remember when I was a kid, there was this question of, oh, why did they abandon it? Well, you know, the answer became clear in the intervening years, which is that the climate changed. There was no more water there, so people couldn't live there. And we tend to push things in this country with, you know, getting energy everywhere and moving water everywhere, but there are limits to that sort of thing.
Well, one of the arguments that climate change deniers make is that there's really nothing we can do about it. We just are going to continue to pump carbon dioxide into the air because, after all, we need the energy, we need the oil, we need the gas. So what are some of the solutions that you provide at the end of your book to counter those arguments?
Well, one of the things that I work on as an environmental economist is environmental tax reform. And this is actually an idea that is potentially at least a bipartisan idea. So we have taxes right now. We have taxes on income, taxes on savings, taxes on investment, taxes on businesses, taxes on jobs. And environmental tax reform is about having lower taxes on those good things and having higher taxes on things we want less of. And carbon emissions is at the top of the list. So what we're talking about with environmental tax reform is shifting the way that we generate revenue. You could think about it at the state level, and there are folks in Oregon, as well as in my home state of Washington, who are actively talking about carbon taxes. You can talk about it at the national level. Countries like India and China could talk about it also, because they also generate revenue. And so I think part of the discussion really is about, can we make our tax system smarter to provide incentives for consumers, for businesses, to change their behaviors in ways that seem kind of small but add up collectively over time?
Well, one final question. I've saw it interesting in the blurbs on the back cover of the book of people that were writing raves about the book, that actually, no, I can't find it. But Jane Lubachenko, who recently was the head of NOAA, refers to how this book is very nonpartisan and nonpolitical. And I wonder, if do you consider the book to be nonpartisan and nonpolitical? And do you think that you have a different approach to getting people to understand the real seriousness of climate change than, let's say, someone like Bill McKibben, who is highly partisan and highly political?
I do think that we tried hard to make the book something that would be of interest to folks kind of across the political spectrum. Maybe the quote, we did get a quote from climate scientist Jim Hansen. We also got a blurb on the back of the book from Kevin Hassett, who's an economist at the American Enterprise Institute.
I noticed that.
Yeah, kind of libertarian. He probably doesn't call and give money to KBOO.
In fact, I mean, that his organization has put a lot of money into trying to deny climate science. So I found that one really interesting. And what do you think that says either about Hassett or about your book?
Well, I think that it sort of says that, I mean, he's an economist, and economists sort of accept the scientific basis for climate change, and they think that this environmental tax reform idea is a fine idea in a way that could potentially grow the economy as well as protecting the environment. So I was thrilled to get get his kind words on the book, but not really all that surprised because when you move sort of away from the kind of the partisan discussion in Washington D.C. and really start looking at the science and looking at the economics, I think, as Grady said, it's really not all that controversial. It's not all that hard.
So do you find that you're getting, besides getting the American Enterprise Institute to come on board, are there other signs that you are making inroads in reaching people who are kind of opposed to either wanting to think about the subject or opposed to, like, allowing the scientific research to continue?
It's just the fact that sales of the book have been pretty good, I'm happy to say. And I think the discussions that I have, so I give a lot of talks since I do stand-up comedy about economics, and a lot of people are sort of moving past the is climate change real discussion. And these are not lefty audiences. These are like Florida Bankers Association, Barry Goldwater Institute types of folks that I speak to. And they're moving beyond the is climate change happening and moving to the, hey, let's have a discussion about policy. And that's very encouraging.
Well, I'm very glad to hear that. What are your plans? Where do you plan to take this now? Are you going to do another cartoon book of some other subject or keep pushing with climate change?
Well, you're going to be. Go ahead.
I think we're going to do both.
Yeah.
Well, I actually do agree. I think that the cartoon format is a really great way to get information across. In fact, everything I know about statistics I learned from the comic book guide or the cartoon guide to statistics, which I thought was your book, Grady, but I realized there's two cartoon books about statistics.
I have a competing book.
Yes.
Yeah, I was just going to add that Yoram and I are set up to do a book on calculus next as well. But on the question of the politicization of these topics, I feel like, from my perspective, there's nothing particularly political about the subject matter of this book. And I feel exactly the same way about the books on economics. Some people seem to feel that the material is, political in nature somehow. But I think it's one of the nice things about cartoons is that you can, get beyond that very quickly. And if you need to, you can skewer whoever has some other kind of agenda that they're bringing to the table very easily. It's a nice thing about satire.
Well, yeah, are you?
I'll put in a couple of plugs, if I may, actually. So I'm thrilled to be working on this next book with Grady, the calculus book, and to have worked on the climate book and the two economics books with him. Both of the economics books talk about climate change a bit, and there are some terrific organizations in Washington. I'm part of a group called Carbon Washington, carbonwa.org is our website, working on this. And in Oregon, folks should reach out to Oregon Environmental Council and Oregon Climate Action Now. Their website is oregonclimate.org. There's a lot of interest right now in Oregon and Washington about climate policy because we're in between British Columbia, which has a carbon tax, and California, which has a cap and trade system. So this is a really exciting time, to be in the Pacific Northwest working on climate issues.
At the same time that we're trying to stop oil terminals and coal trains and all the other things that would increase the carbon dioxide from this region. Well, I want to thank you guys very much for joining me. And I really enjoyed your book, and I hope that listeners will enjoy the book too. And we'll just in a minute get to how they can do that. So we've been talking this morning with Grady Klein and Yoram Bauman, who are co-authors of The Cartoon Introduction to Climate Change. And hopefully we'll talk with you guys again soon.
Thank you. That would be super.
Okay, thanks a lot for joining us. Now we're going to talk with Justin and Jenka, who are going to give us a report on how our pledge drive is going.
Ah, thank you so much, Barbara. Indeed, we are making great progress, and we've had a number of calls this morning, and we're grateful. We want to thank Angela in Southeast Portland. She uses her EFT to give support to all of these voices, and we're hoping that more of you out there listening who haven't yet made the call will see that as your entree, and you'll pick up your phone and just take a minute out of your busy day and call 877-500-5266. This is how we make sure that information is getting out to people, the information we need to save the world. 877-500-KBOO.
We have about 6 minutes left this hour to reach our goal, and we have just a couple more copies of this book, The Cartoon Introduction to Climate Change. As I was listening to Yoram Bauman, I had this thought, why not get a gift membership for one of these skeptical legislators that somehow still thinks that climate change isn't happening? Make it real easy for them. Give them this cartoon introduction to climate change, and you know, get one for your skeptical uncle or another relative. Pass this knowledge along. $5 a month contribution can get you this cartoon introduction to climate change as your added bonus. The real gift, of course, being your KBOO membership, your support of this community and of yourself, your own knowledge, your own expansion of facts and information about the issues that you care about. Annie Leonard, you probably heard of her, the creator of The Story of Stuff, that viral video about our overconsumption. She wrote about this book, "I know we're trashing the planet, but do we have to add to our misery by reading gloom and doom books about it? The Cartoon Introduction to Climate Change offers another way. Learn some serious science, evaluate strategies for change, and have a good laugh in the process." So get this, one of the last couple of copies of The Cartoon Introduction to Climate Change in the next 5 minutes for your $5 a month contribution to KBOO, or you could do it $60 all at once, whatever works for you. 877-500-5266. We just actually need one more person to call to reach our goal for this hour. So we're doing great. We just need you to be the one to put us over the top, to support Locus Focus, to support environmental programming on KBOO. You know, we recently did that all-day special on climate change. All of that audio from that special is also available, along with hundreds of other hours of exclusive lectures, talks, and interviews on our USB flash drive. That's a $75 contribution that also can be done as a monthly deduction. $6.25 a month will get you that USB flash drive. All of that audio can then be shared. You can put it on your device. You can carry it with you, podcast it, bring it, share it, copy it onto CDs, send it to your relatives. Share this information. 877-500-5266. Every gift goes so far here at KBOO. The what we're able to do with every single dollar, it's amazing. It's been going on since 1968. Just coming to you a few times a year and asking for your support, and you come through every single time. It's amazing.
877-500-KBOO to say thank you to Barbara Bernstein and all of the volunteers who come in every hour of every day to enrage, entertain, enthuse, enlighten, and empower. And there's so many ways that people are supporting KBOO. Some people are giving some money, and we thank you very much for doing that. Some people are giving their time. Restaurants are giving food to make sure that our volunteers don't fall over while they're receiving all these calls. Thank you to Bar Carlo, open Wednesday to Monday, 8:30 to 10 p.m., serving breakfast, lunch, happy hour, and dinner at 6433 Southeast Foster. Thank you to Little River Cafe, open 7 days a week at 7 a.m., 0315 Southwest Montgomery, serving breakfast, sandwiches, salads, and burgers along the Willamette River. And thank you to Corbett Fish House at 5901 Southwest Corbett. That's open Monday through Friday, 11 a.m. to 9 p.m. Saturday and Sunday open at noon, using 100% rice bran oil for their fish and chips. They've done what they can do today, dear listeners, and Jenka and Barbara have done what they can do today. Now, won't you get on the phone? 877-500-KBOO.
Well, thank you, Jenka and Justin, and thanks to everybody who called today and made a pledge to support KBOO. And I want to let you know that we've been talking this morning with Yoram Bauman and Grady Klein, who are co-authors of The Cartoon Introduction to Climate Change, and you've been listening to Locus Focus here on KBOO Community Radio. If you're just tuning in and you'd like to hear what you missed, or you want your friends or family to hear this show, you can listen to it online or download the audio later this afternoon on our website, kboo.fm/locusfocus. I'm going to be taking the next month off to finish our film on food justice. I'll be back November 10th with Dominic De La Sala to talk about the Tongass rainforest. My engineer is Kate Welch. We're going to go out with some music by Tom Waits. I'm Barbara Bernstein. Thanks for listening.
When I was a boy, the moon was pearl, the sun a yellow gold. When I was a man.
Join us for our monthly movie event, KBOO at the Clinton. This month, on October 9th, KBOO will host a screening of The U.S. vs. John Lennon, a 2006 documentary film about John Lennon and his transformation from Beatle to anti-war activist and the repression he faced because of his political activities. That's KBOO at the Clinton with The U.S. vs. John Lennon on Thursday, October 9th at the Clinton Street Theater, 2522 Southeast Clinton Street in Portland. More information is available at kboo.fm on the right-hand side of the homepage under Community Events.
And it is 11 a.m. You do have it tuned to KBOO Portland. Coming up and standing by is Health Watch with host Dr. David Naiman. And that will be followed at 11:30 by Madness Radio with host Will Hall. He speaks with Dinah Tyler, who survived a psychotic break and bipolar diagnosis, toxic over-medication and hospital sexual assault, and a vision of the meaning of life. So she's the co-director of the San Francisco Bay Area Mandela Project, a vision of a new humane and spiritual system of mental health care. But right now, we have Health Watch. This KBOO program has been made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from Lent's International Farmers Market, a program of Zengu Farm, every Sunday through October at Southeast 92nd and Foster from 10 to 3. Lent's Farmers Market offers the Food Scouts Farmers Market Club for kids, a community table, cooking demonstrations, and live music. More at lentsfarmersmarket.org.
The purpose of this program is not to prescribe a treatment to individuals. Listeners should consult their healthcare practitioner before attempting any treatment.
Good morning and welcome to Health Watch. I'm Dr. David Naiman, your host. What if the seeming